a hill from Park School in Carlin's Park. As a youngster, I was in and out of the hospital with ear infections because we didn't have miracle drugs back then. When I was 5, my father was admitted to Springfield State Hospital and stayed there for the rest of his life. My mother, Bonnie Justice, took over control of his wholesale jewelry business and changed it into a retail jewelry business. In 1940, was elected the first woman president of the Baltimore Retail Jewelers Association. She was very active in Bible study groups at St. Mark's Methodist Church at Liberty Heights and Garrison Boulevard. We didn't have a car until 1950, so we used the very reliable streetcars to get to church and everywhere else. I started hearing about Jesus Christ at a very early age. I attended Sunday school there, and at one point was also an altar boy. I will confess, I didn't always make Sunday school because Duane's Bakery was in the same block, and I couldn't resist watching them make cinnamon rolls and then using my church money to buy one. I still learned that Jesus loves me. This, the Bible tells me so. With my mother working, I was taken care of by neighbors and a wonderful maid named Ida. I walked up the hill to PS number 18 until I got my 26-inch bicycle. This reminds me, I first had a 24-inch hard rubber tire bike to be used only on sidewalks. And one of the times I decided to go down the nearby street, a dump truck came out of the alley. I put on the brakes and slid under the truck. The double wheels in the back of the truck stopped inches from my head. I don't know if God or one of his angels saved me, but I remember feeling very fortunate. On Burleith Avenue, where I lived, we had natural gas street lights and played step ball with tennis balls, and also played hockey in the street on steel-wheeled roller skates, which clamped onto our shoes. By 1939, my mother and I and her close friend who had a car went to visit John S. Watkins and his brother Bill and his wife Jess on a farm in Kemptown, Maryland. I asked if I could spend a week with them and extended for all the summer, and then 6 more summers. They were down-to-earth Christian people who supported the Providence United Methodist Church, and Aunt Jess, as I called her, played the piano and the organ. I went to church with them in Sunday school, but I learned more about being a person with goodness by their example. When I first went there, the toilet was the path to the outhouse. Water was drawn by using a steel handle of a pump out in the yard, and bath water was warmed on the stove and poured into a number 2 galvanized tub once or twice a week. They all worked very hard and very smart and helped their neighbors getting in the crops. Uncle John cut his own trees down, took them to his brother's sawmill in New Market, Maryland, and got his lumber from that. From some of these boards, he created 2 or 3 hogs' heads in which he packed the tobacco he had grown for market. At 9 years old and about 75 pounds, if you can believe that, I made my first dollar helping put the tobacco in those barrels. He would put me down in the approximate 6-foot-high-by-5-foot-wide empty hogs' head and hand down the tobacco leaves, which were tied together in what they call a hand of tobacco. From a distance, it would look like a hand fan. Once we filled the hog's head, they would take me out and put the lid on loosely and then use a very heavy jack to press the tobacco down, and then we would start all over. I have that dollar in my office today. From then, I learned to water chickens, prepare chickens for frying, feed the horses and pigs, milk cows, collect eggs, and steer big farm all tractors sitting on Uncle John's lap. I also learned to shoot a BB gun and was later allowed to go out by myself and use a single-shot 22 rifle to kill groundhogs. Uncle John was my first male role model. In 1943, I was accepted as a scholarship at McDonough School in the fifth grade. It was a male-only semi-military school with West Point-type high collars. The headmaster was Doc Lamborn, and he and my excellent teachers became my role models. Because of the rationing of gasoline and rubber for tires during World War II, we weren't allowed to go home for a weekend for 6 weeks. We had chapel services on Sunday, and every 4 weeks, we had the same minister who gave the same sermon, ending in "The greatest of these is love." In 1948, Robert C. Smoot, a pastor of Chapelgate Lane Presbyterian Church, came from Monday school religion classes and joined his church, and I joined his church in 1950 and remained a member for 64 years. I graduated from McDonough in 1951 when I was 20. While I was at McDonough, I learned to drive using their station wagon and drove a pickup truck and McDonough buses for 3 years at Doc's camps, Red Cloud and Red Wing, at Plattsburgh, New York. One day in the truck, I got gas at the service station and drove out into a two-lane highway to turn right. And then the tie rod broke and put me directly in the path of a Coke truck coming about 50 miles an hour. He stopped within 3 yards of me. Jesus still seemed to be taking care of me. I also drove the lacrosse team in my senior year at McDonough to their away games. I started at Johns Hopkins in the fall of 1951. I was elected president of my freshman class and married my wife, Claire. By the end of my sophomore year, we had a son, Jimmy. Instead of starting my junior year, I was activated for the Navy during the Korean War and served on a troop transport for 22 months and returned to Hopkins, where I graduated in 1957. My wife was pregnant with our daughter, Jean, and the last month before graduation, Claire's brother, J.B., a steelworker, was killed when he was riding a church steeple into position when the boom broke and all went down. We went to Alabama for the funeral and returned 3 weeks later. I had to leave a night meeting at Hopkins to go tell Claire, her younger brother, also a steelworker, who had two small children, had been killed when he fell from a tall commercial chimney he was working on. I have never prayed with greater passion than I did on the way home to break the news. After Hopkins, I started working at C&P Telephone Company in 1957 and worked there for 32 plus years. In 1975, Carlton Gunther, an elder at Chapelgate, asked me to join the Board of Governors of the Presbyterian Eye, Ear, and Throat Charity Hospital at GBMC. I was very busy at the time, but it was like God himself had called me. On December 3rd of this year, I will have served 40 years, the last 24 of the President of the Board, now President Emeritus. Since 1981, we have owned a condo in Ocean City, Maryland. We feel that God tested us during that period. About 10 years ago, we were walking the beach in bathing suits where there weren't many people around, and we heard someone crying in pain. It was a Hispanic boy, about 13, and his surfboard fin had cut the artery of his leg. The only thing I could do was put my hand on the cut to stop the bleeding, and Claire and two of his friends called to get help. Later, I felt like a good Samaritan in Luke 10:33. Soon after that, a man about 25 years old was flying a kite on our condo parking lot and fell over the concrete car stop. Claire stayed with him, and I went to another building to get his life. Well, I'm sorry, wife. Later, we heard from her that he had broken his ankle. We have done a lot of praying in our lives, including in the last 10 years, when our daughter was treated for breast cancer and has survived. I had a successful back operation. We had 18 inches of water in our basement due to a broken drain pipe. I had prostate cancer for 13 years and was cured last year without an operation. 6 years ago, our dehumidifier caught fire at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. Pressurized paint cans blew up and alerted us to heavy smoke coming up from the basement, and we escaped barefooted out the front door. A year later, after living in an apartment, we moved into a new townhouse, and Claire broke several ribs cleaning the smoke from the bed frame that the insurance company should have done. When we were younger, and I was a radioman in the Navy, and my son and had our son with us, we had very little money and didn't go to church. In fact, one weekend, I borrowed $10 from a shipmate for food. When I went to work for CNP, we started making small contributions, and I did physical work, even helping build a small chapel on the side of the big house at Chapel Hill on Rolling Road with Reverend Smoot. It took a while for us to tithe and other offerings and receive the benefits that are promised in the Bible. In 1979, my Catholic neighbors, who I had most of the Catholic neighbors, at dinner asked us to pay $10 for a raffle ticket to benefit Mount DeSales. I did that and put it in my file. Around Christmas, we got a call and were told we were the grand prize winners of a DeVille Cadillac. But we took the $10,000 cash prize. And before Fred and Lois Maul made us aware of Covenant Fellowship, in our last 2 years at Chapel Gate, we didn't attend church there or make contributions, but did send our tithes to the Kemptown Church, as Matthew 23:23 reminds us. I love being a part of this congregation and pray for all of you and your families. Tradition says the good die young, and it worries me that I'm still here. Until I read Proverbs 16:31 in the Good News Bible, you probably haven't heard of that one, but long life is rewarded of the righteous, gray hair is a glorious crown. God bless you all.